Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire. Girl, you know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
A nice cold glass of lemonade.
Oh my gosh, you're reading my mind. You know what? The weather is nice. It is time for those summer vibes and opening a lemonade stand like we did when we were little. Did you ever do that?
I did all the time. Whenever we would have garage sales in our neighborhood, I'd have my little stand, my little cookies.
Oh, you cleaned up too, I bet.
Oh yeah.
We did it. That was my, funny enough, first introduction to marketing and sales was having my own little lemonade stand operation out of my driveway.
And you know what? We do have the queen of sales, Miss Gabrielle Huff, in the building. I'm so excited you're here today, Gabby.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us, Gab.
Hi, I'm more excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, you know, give us the rundown.
Yeah, I'm from Toledo. I went to Whitmer, so Washington local, growing up, and grew up in West Toledo. And I graduated from the University of Toledo back in 2020,
nice.
Which seems like forever ago now, but a few years ago. And I have been now at the City Paper for almost 3 years. I think my anniversary is this Friday, actually.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Was it interesting for you graduating in a COVID year? What was that like?
It was super weird because I was in the media broadcast program at UT doing UT10 News, and that is kind of like your capstone thing that you do at the end of your program. And so we were really kicking it off while COVID was starting and then happening. So we were totally creating a weekly broadcast together over Zoom and not around people. And I had to do a million different Zoom interviews every week and not be able to get in front of people, and getting B-roll was so hard and you couldn't be close to people and all of that. So it was definitely really difficult. It was probably honestly not a bad thing to be in that position at that point, because you really had to use your skills and creativity and probably work a little bit harder than I would have had to being just a normal time. So I think that was one strength of the situation, but it was definitely interesting.
Well, I think about too, like, imagine before we had the technology that we have now, if COVID year happened to university students back then, like, that would have been impossible to create, you know, different types of newspapers or broadcasts or anything like that from home. You know what I mean? So I think that's very helpful for us to have had that technology to be able to do things like that. Obviously, you and I were both J school people, so we know the whole COVID trying to put a newspaper or broadcast together vibe. It's very difficult.
Right. Yeah, that was super difficult. And I feel like the whole college experience as a whole, probably before all the technology that we have now, probably would have been impossible, and class just would have been canceled.
Definitely.
And your graduation date would probably be, you know, moved back to whenever.
No,
so
for sure.
I'm definitely glad that everyone was able to figure all of that out, so those things didn't get pushed back, for
definitely.
Sure.
Pretty quick. Kind of pushed us along,
right. Yeah, like, no, definitely.
Together.
Yeah. Well, and I'm interested too, Gab, because you kind of changed the trajectory of your career a little bit with this job at City Paper. So at the City Paper, you are one of our sales representatives and account managers. And so talk a little bit about how you went from the journalism space with, like, broadcast media and different things like that to transitioning then into sales.
Right. Yeah. I think it kind of, like, what I do now at City Paper meshes together a lot of the things that I've done and that I'm good at,
right,
too. All through college, I sold fine jewelry at a couple different jewelry stores. So I grew a ton of experience with that, and definitely that kind of very personable and at the same time kind of serious side of sales, I guess. You know, bigger ticket items and important purchases and longer term relationships with clients, all of that good stuff.
Sure.
Those strengths and everything and skills I learned throughout college at work go into what I do every day, selling and making all of those different media plans for people. But then kind of they bring in everything I learned at school and did. So I feel like it's kind of just a perfect mashup of all of that.
Right.
Yeah, good mix.
Well, and even the fact that it is a media company. Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, does that help with your strengths from having a media background in school?
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like all the time people will, you know, ask for my job title or want me to explain what I do or just be curious about it, you know, or even like friends who don't totally understand what I do at work all day.
Right.
And when I start describing what I do, I never like think to just say I'm a salesperson right away or sales. I think a lot more of my day-to-day goes into the marketing and creative kind of side of my brain and everything like that, coming up with creative ideas and things like that and helping with those marketing plans, trying to come up with different things for different companies and everything like that. I think kind of is a bulk of what I do. So I don't always feel like I'm just, you know, when you think of salespeople, you think of like a door-to-door salesman,
right,
selling,
right,
I don't know, vacuums or something. And that's,
yeah,
like the total opposite of me.
Wait, you're telling me you don't go door-to-door selling vacuums?
I will never.
I mean, we're joking, but that's a really good point. You have to have a lot of in-person meetings with people. Obviously, you're not going door-to-door. But you are a very fashionable person. And
yes.
I think one thing that Gen Z people really struggle with is what we should be wearing in a professional environment.
Yeah.
And especially our office, you know, we're a little more laid back, a little more casual. But you going on these sales meetings, what tips or strategies do you have for Gen Z people in terms of their wardrobe?
Yes, tell us our office fashionista.
As the office fashionista.
I do love clothes. That's one. I would say, I feel like this is very cliche, but I think, you know, when you look good and look professional and fancy, you're gonna feel more confident and better and more sure of yourself and act like that too. There's different days where if I'm gonna be just at work in the office all day, not, you know, in front of anyone in particular other than my normal coworkers, you know, I'm just gonna wear a normal outfit with jeans and a blouse, whatever it might be. But definitely, I think growing up, when I was in college, I was already kind of grown up. Working at K Jewelers, back then, their dress code's really relaxed now. You can wear jeans and tennis shoes and whatever, but you had to be like super professional. So I was in, you know, I was 18 or 19 and in dress pants and blazers and button up blouses and super fancy every day.
Right.
So I think I got used to, you know, when I was in those professional and fancier clothes, I felt more confident and I was like in work mode and I kind of got used to that. And then when I was in my normal, you know, everyday casual clothes, that's when I'm not at work and, you know, off time. So I think it kind of has me wired in my brain now, you know, when I'm dressed up more professional and like that, it's very much so I'm in that kind of go mode, which I think is really important. I, like you said, being younger, I feel like sometimes it's hard for us to break into the workspace and feel super confident. But, you know, when you look good and you know you do, I feel like that means the world and will help you act a lot more confidently and convey yourself in a good manner. I feel like, you know, if you have a blazer or a nice dress or heels on compared to like a t-shirt and leggings, they're gonna treat you a little bit differently, which, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing. Like, you should always care more about somebody's intelligence and character and everything like that compared to clothing. But it definitely in the workplace still means a lot for sure.
And I want to go back to how you're saying that none of your friends really know what you do. And that's exactly what my situation is too. And trying to explain my job at the City Paper to anyone, I'm like, I do everything.
No, it's so true. I feel for y'all because I can at least look at people and be like, yeah, no, I edit stories and I blah, blah, blah. But then it's like looking at the sales side, I'm like, y'all do so much. It's kind of difficult to fully explain. But Gab, too, like us at Adam Street, you are one of, if not the only youngest person there with us, you know? So we have talked a lot on the podcast about our different interactions with coworkers and how working in a space with many different age groups can kind of be really fun, but also sometimes difficult in different ways. You know, I think we both have experienced that.
Yeah, and you're working with so many different people, you know, people, oh, maybe they are trying to advertise for their jewelry store, like you have experience in it, or it's just something completely out of your realm. And, you know, those kind of clients you're dealing with, you know, big money, like you're handling their money. So talk to us about that. And that kind of experience being young, like, do people take you seriously? Have you found there's difficulty there?
Yeah, it can be very different on a day-to-day basis, especially because, you know, I don't work with just a super specific sector of industries or types of businesses. I work with from the smallest, like, one-man operations to way bigger companies. And with that comes along different levels of not professionalism, I would say, but, you know, I guess fanciness, you could say. And sometimes, you know, if I'm meeting with a girl my age running a business, it's probably going to be a lot more friendly and casual, fun conversation compared to, you know, somebody who is a director of marketing of a really big company or firm, whatever it might be in the area. So it really just takes time to kind of learn, you know, those different cues and how to present yourself and act in front of different people. And, you know, always when you have those initial conversations with different people, kind of be more reserved and feel things out and figure out, you know, how you can joke around and how personable you can be and everything like that. Because, like, some people I work with, you know, now it's like they're more so friends to me than clients or colleagues of sorts, and I can kind of just come to them as a friend and talk to them. And then other people's, the conversations are always super professional. So it definitely can change up a lot on a day-to-day basis depending on who I'm talking to. And like you said too, definitely age comes into it some, because, you know, when you're talking to somebody your same age, you kind of see each other as peers and equals. And sometimes, definitely, I think being a younger girl too, sometimes people can look at you if they are in one of those really high up positions, maybe not as seriously, but I think just remaining confident and showing that, you know, you're a professional too and know what you're talking about and, you know, I didn't graduate high school yesterday, helps and can kind of get through that issue and show them that, you know, you're just as of a professional and deserve the same respect as somebody who might be twice my age. So
absolutely.
And I think it's interesting because no matter who you're interacting with across the board, you have to have some certain strategies or, you know, be a certain level of personable with these people, right? So do you have any particular strategies that you go to when you're dealing with different clients?
I don't think there's not any super specific ones that I like lay out piece by piece.
For sure.
I definitely always try to approach everyone just the same and be really at the same time as friendly as professional on both of those levels and treat everyone equally. I know sometimes you look at smaller businesses and think, oh, they might not want to do this. They're not going to want to talk to me about this. And same thing for larger companies. You think, oh, they won't even give me the time of the day. I'm a 25-year-old girl and you're, you know, a millionaire or whatever it might be. But kind of putting all of those different things aside and just coming to each person you talk to on like the same playing field, I think is super helpful and has helped me the most in growing all of those relationships and everything like that.
Yeah. I think one thing too, going back to kind of our coworker interactions,
yeah.
I think one thing that I find really unique about our company is that we're all kind of on a level playing field. You know, there's not, other than our bosses, Colette and Mark, there's not one person who's really above another there, which is really nice. But at the same time, when we are coming in and we're, you know, fresh on the scene, fresh out of college or just like very young, and some of these people have been at our company for over a decade, how do you approach difficult conversations where a decision has to be made? You know, I find that sometimes if in the editor position, if I'm trying to approve a layout for something and I might be butting heads with somebody in the art department, it can sometimes be difficult if they've been there longer or things like that. Do you find that you ever get into these difficult conversations, and how do you navigate that with some of the more seasoned coworkers?
Yeah, I would say, like you mentioned, I do think it is really good that a lot of us are kind of look at each other as being on an even playing field. And I think that makes it a lot easier to talk to everyone.
For sure.
But I would say, like you said, a lot of people who were already there before I started or you guys, they've worked there for forever. So they know everything that we might be trying to figure out. So I've always found it really helpful to ask as many questions to whoever I need and just try to be really open about, you know, if I'm wondering something or I don't know how to do this or all of the what ifs, you know, what should I be thinking of? Is there anything else I need to be trying? All of that good stuff. So
I think
just trying to have really open communication. I know it can be hard sometimes, but I don't know. I would say, and definitely in my department too, like usually I'm going to Colette with any issues I might have. And I feel like she, you know, it's her baby. So she, why wouldn't she want to answer my question and
for
help
sure.
me in whatever capacity I need the assistance in to be able to then be successful? Because that's everyone's goal. Yeah. I think it is really beneficial that it is a smaller team, and I feel like we all have our hearts in it kind of and care a lot about what we're putting out and doing for the area. So that makes it a lot easier to put all the effort in and want to figure things out and
for
just
sure.
not,
yeah.
you know, say, oh, this is a problem, and then put it under the rug and not care about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's, it's a good reverse point too. I mean, we talk a lot about how we as young people feel when some of our older coworkers might not take our opinion seriously, but I don't think we really talk as much about how we as the young coworkers can learn from our older coworkers. You know, we can go to them and say, you've been in this a lot longer than I have. You've watched the industry change in a way that maybe we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to kind of get their perspective from along the way rather than just, you know, coming in with that fresh mindset and thinking that we're going to immediately shake things up rather than just kind of getting all of that background to help assist us with making things have that fresh take or fresh perspective.
No, I love that. I feel like from what I've learned so far, it's never bad to ask a question.
Right.
It's never a bad thing to admit you don't know something. Like, no one's going to look at you as any less. It's just be curious and find out what you're missing.
Absolutely. And Gabby, too, outside of work, you know, we talk a lot about your sales position and your personability, but you use that a lot outside of work, too.
I try to be, you know, involved in different things as much as possible. I recently joined the board of AAF Toledo, the ad club, as they call it, the American Advertising Federation. I've had a ton of fun with that. I found in my time at the paper, helping out with different things we've done, I love event planning and helping to put together different things. So I've kind of taken that on with the ad club and have been helping plan some of our upcoming things that we have going on. But that side of things I've loved networking with different people all over the area and getting just a better pulse for what's going on and what there is in Toledo, because there's so many different, you know, really cool marketing and advertising agencies that do global and national stuff that's so cool that is, you know, down the street from our office in Toledo, and we've never heard of them, or such cool different companies. So I think just with, like you said, my sales experience and everything like that, it makes it really easy for me to just, you know, talk to whoever and strike up a conversation and not be shy to, you know, find out this or ask this question. So I think that's always really helpful with getting involved with different things. It makes it definitely easier to just put yourself out there.
Definitely.
I'm curious too, since I also work in the sales department and with you working in marketing, do you feel like you pay more attention to, like, other companies, like, marketing, or if you're watching, like, the TV, like, do you think that you pay hyper attention? Because I feel like that's something I've picked up.
Yeah, definitely, I would say. I feel like I don't watch cable TV and stuff a lot to where I see TV commercials often, but, like, on social media and different digital ads I get all of the time, I'm always paying attention to those because, of course, you know, my brain's always going, coming up with different ideas for people. But also, like, I love seeing typos. I will point out any typo in anything.
Oh my God, so true.
Anywhere. So I love when I see, like, funny little things like that, or, you know, this doesn't make sense or that. I don't know what it is. It's the villain in me, but I love catching mistakes.
No, real. I always see my least favorite type of promotion right now that drives me crazy is I always see videos on TikTok where it'll say, like, paid promotion or whatever, and then it's somebody on, like, a stair stepper or, like, somebody doing something, but they keep popping up in my For You page, and I'm like, leave me alone. This is great marketing, but leave me be.
Yeah, I found TikTok really interesting in, like, the last year since the shops come out, and now there's all, like, the different ads for stuff you can buy. And that, yeah, that side of things is really interesting to me because I feel like there hasn't been, like, a social media and store combined that's so popular before.
For sure.
And it's just insane. Like, when you buy stuff on it, they'll send you messages to, like, make the videos to review yeah. the stuff you purchased. And yeah. if you don't, then they'll stop sending you coupons. And I was thinking about that. I was like, I feel like that could be a really bad cycle for somebody who,
right?
Like,
no,
I don't know, has a shopping problem or wants attention. I don't know.
Not a shopping
I feel like
problem.
It could go really bad. So that, yeah, like, how different social medias are always popping up and changing things, I think is really yeah. interesting too.
For sure. TikTok especially, you scroll, it's like every single thing is like eligible for commission.
Right.
And it's like essentially everyone is their own sales rep for anything you're buying, which is crazy.
I know. I keep thinking about how I need to do that, but I haven't brought myself to make a TikTok.
Well, I mean, you guys, but even on that, it's like you are kind of your own sales rep for yourself and your own personal brand. And especially
yeah,
like with all the tools we have now in our Gen Z capacity, we can be using our digital footprint to create a whole brand for ourselves. That's why we have so many influencers who are around our age or people who have made an entire brand yeah. based on their own name, which I think is interesting, especially from your perspective in sales. You know, you are actively trying to sell a product for our company, but at the same time, you are in the Gen Z space where you might be posting on social media or like curating your Instagram or like doing something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So do you find that you try to create your own personal brand in different ways and almost kind of sell yourself to other people and market yourself in a way that people would be more appealed to work with you or different things like that?
Right. To some extent, for sure. I would say since probably like the last couple of years, I really don't. I'm not super active on socials with posting on my own accounts. I don't. You know, I post a couple pictures here and there on Instagram every year, but normally that's it. I haven't paid a lot of attention or put a lot of energy in to posting on my own accounts. But I've definitely thought of that lately as something I need to put a lot more energy into marketing myself as, you know, a person in the industry in the area who has those marketing skills and can help businesses. And definitely I've thought, try to put more time into LinkedIn and being active on that, because I think that can definitely be a really good resource and platform for kind of the professional side of things. But I definitely think it's more important every day to kind of do that, because, you know, everyone you work with, you know, as soon as they find out your name, they're going to look you up on social media.
Right.
I look up everyone I meet and talk to and this and that, and I want to see pictures of their dogs and whatever. So I know it's like people are always looking you up. So you, why not put yourself out there in a good light and a positive way that will probably help your work than not at all. So
absolutely. Man, I'll tell you what, I had to delete so many embarrassing dance videos to save my digital footprint. I was like, please do not look me up and see my old like middle school content.
Yeah. Right. Like I'll get the I don't remember what they're called, but like the memories on Facebook.
All the time.
Yeah. And it's like what I was saying in middle school, and every day I feel like I have to delete them because I'm like, oh my God, true. I sound like an idiot.
Right. I mean, let me tell you, young kids and social media, dangerous combo.
I know. But. And it's crazy because it's like when we were growing up, it was just totally like unhinged. You could say whatever.
Real.
Nobody was really like, your parents really weren't watching it that much. I feel like we all could just do whatever. And now
it's a tool.
States are
making it
so you can't have social under 14 or 15 or whatever,
right.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, I was doing whatever at the age of 12, saying whatever I wanted to say.
I want to ask you, too, as a fellow born and raised Toledoan, I'm curious how you feel about Toledo's renaissance. You know, being born and raised here, you, like me, have seen Toledo grow from a place where pretty much everybody was kind of excited to skedaddle and not really, you know, grow up, go to college, get out, not come back. But for us, staying here, we've seen it grow in exponential ways.
For sure.
And I'm curious how you feel about that.
Yeah, I'm curious about this too, not being born here. I'm like, okay, we're in a renaissance. I'm like, I want to know all the details.
Definitely.
It's like the Toledo lore.
Yeah, I think it's definitely true. Having grown up here, I feel like my parents were always really good about taking me to, you know, all of the cool things for kids and getting out there and like different restaurants and all of that. So I feel like growing up, I wasn't like in the house all the time. I still saw all of the cool things that were happening in Toledo. And, you know, I would go downtown to the art museum and COSI before it was Imagination Station and the zoo and all of that. So I was still able to experience the cool things that were, you know, in Toledo and available in, say, I don't know, the early 2000s, which it was still, you know, it was definitely a lot less than there is to do now. But there were still such great things. But definitely since the last few years, like I would say the food industry, there's so many cool restaurants that weren't here when we were growing up. I know everyone always says Toledo has so many restaurants per capita, and we have like the best foodie culture and whatever else, however you want to word it. But I think with that and just downtown, I lived downtown for a couple of years, and from even the time I moved in to when I left, it got so much more popular and different things were opening and different types of businesses, not just bars and restaurants, but retail and cool different locally owned businesses. And I feel like it's just continuing to grow. So like 5-10 years, I'd love to see where everything's at then.
For sure. I love that. I want to know, tell us what advice you have for other young professionals and other, you know, maybe they're sales reps or maybe they're in the media space.
Yeah, definitely. I would say just having confidence to like the highest extent that you can is always most important. And definitely to educating yourself on everything you might need to know. I think those two different things have been what's helped me grow the most. I would say, you know, 3 years ago when I started the job that I do now, I could have known all of the same things, but I think I'm a totally different employee, professional person, however you want to call it now, just because I'm so much more confident and sure of myself and what I do. So I think that's always the most important thing. You know, everyone says fake it until you make it, but I find myself thinking about that all of the time because sometimes you know, pick up the phone to call someone and you might be really nervous. But if that nervousness comes across on the phone call, they're not going to want to talk to you. But if you sound sure of yourself and what you're talking to them about and confident, then it's going to go so much better. And on the other side of what I said, I think that educational part, I always want to know 100% of what I'm trying to do or what I'm talking about or, you know, for instance, in work, what I'm trying to sell, because I think that allows you to be as confident as possible.
That's great advice, dude. I love that. And now we're to our favorite part.
Best part.
Are you so excited, Gabby? It is the Roman Empire.
I don't know. I'm nervous and I don't even know what mine is.
Okay, so, well then let's make it easy for you. Libby, why don't you kick it off today?
Okay, so my Roman Empire today, and I'm not sure if you can relate, Gab, mine is that I did not watch SpongeBob growing up. My parents didn't really love it, and we also didn't have that channel, and I feel like everyone can pick it out. Like, you meet someone, especially our age, and they're like, oh, you didn't watch SpongeBob growing up. It's like, how do you know?
It's like a sign. You can just kind of tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get it. My parents were kind of that way. They thought it made me dumber to watch SpongeBob. But I did it anyway because they were just like, you know, watch whatever as long as you're, you know, still doing your homework and
can't really. Reading your books. I love SpongeBob.
So true.
And I feel like that is funny because I feel like it's a very cultural thing. Like, you can pick out SpongeBob references all the time from people our age and like, I think of them all the time, too,
right.
And
oh,
say
sure.
little things from SpongeBob, so. Well.
And it got to the point that my dad, he was working with a lot of, like, younger coworkers, and he actually came to me with a formal apology that I didn't have SpongeBob, because he's like, it's all they talk about.
Oh,
I'm
Sean.
Sorry that you missed out.
That's hilarious.
See, he's the man. Shout out, Sean. All right, Gabs, you're up. Let's hear it.
Right now, my Roman Empire is, first of all, whatever's happening to Kate Middleton, because I'm so wrapped into all
so
the conspiracy
true.
Theories. Is she alive? Is she not?
No, she has cancer.
They're saying that video is fake, though. Do we believe it or
oh
not?
My goodness.
It's supposed
oh
to be goodness. AI. I don't know.
Not the
but
AI
also,
Kate Middleton.
Right? But also, day-to-day is grilled cheeses. I've found a new obsession with them, and I have to eat one, like, almost every day.
Okay, that's so real of you. I feel
the
like
duality
people,
of topics.
People go through a grilled cheese phase, I feel. You know, you either love a grilled cheese or you hate a grilled cheese.
It's the best food ever, and I just got a Hello Kitty grilled cheese maker. Oh. So it stamps around there.
As you
should.
Better.
How could it get any better?
And I bet you got that off TikTok shop, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
A shocking twist. Okay, well.
Yeah, what's yours?
I'm going to keep mine short, sweet, to the point because I could talk about it forever. But I recently went to Seattle. And as anyone who knows me knows, I have been obsessed with Twilight my whole life. Have a giant Twilight poster in my room as we speak, which is embarrassing. And I will not be taking questions at this time. But I went to Seattle and I drove from Seattle, the city, 3 hours and 40 minutes to get to Forks, Washington to see all of the Twilight scenes. I saw Bella's house. I saw the Cullen house. I saw the hospital. I saw the police station. I saw it all. And it
I
was the
it.
Best thing ever. And I got a cringy Jacob Black t-shirt. That is not me claiming Team Jacob, by the way. No one canceled me. But I got a cringy t-shirt. I got some cute shorts. I got to see all these like original costumes and these tourist destinations. And let me tell you, their literal Chamber of Commerce in Forks is filled top to bottom with Twilight merch.
Really?
And signed posters
oh,
and
wow.
cardboard cutouts of the characters. And it was so zany and I had so much fun.
I
did get to go with one of our previous guests, Miss Katie Hoffman. So
shout
out. Me and Katie got the ultimate Twilight experience.
So were there
lovely.
A lot of like other people being tourists there
oh,
at the
yeah.
same time?
Oh yeah. And actually what's crazy is it grew through COVID. Not
really?
Sure. It grew.
Oh, my God.
People had nothing else to do, so they just drove around Forks to see all the Twilight
right.
stuff.
And
it
I guess
nice.
I bet a lot of people, like, read Twilight for the first time, too,
oh,
and
yeah.
watched the movies. So it
Well, and the last thing I'll say on this, the lady who worked at the Chamber of Commerce was, like, definitely around 70 years old.
Yeah.
And she was like, I went to all the red carpet premieres in L.A. I met all the actors. I met Stephanie Meyer. Like, all this. She's going on and on and on.
My God.
She's like, I camped out with all the fans for the books. I'm like, girl, you deserve to work here for real. Like, good for you.
She really, like, made that town. That's
yeah,
crazy.
She really did.
Good for her.
They need to put a statue of her.
Literally.
But that's, you know, my new Roman Empire.
From SpongeBob to Twilight to grilled cheese, this has been so fun. So thank you so much, Gabby, for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We want to thank Gabby Huff, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen to us again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts. Bye,
besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission. For more information about the Voices Around Us podcast project, please visit WGTE.org. You may also listen to all Voices Around Us podcasts at WGTE.org/VAU, the WGTE app, or wherever you get your podcasts online.